off in water strands, digging around in water strands. It's great fun. I think just as the slide's going up, Andy, that'd be great. There you go, great. I often dig around on the shelves in Waterstones, which is great fun, and I find all sorts of books. And if you go into the, have you ever wandered down the health and lifestyle section? It's good fun. There's some weird and wonderful stuff in there, let me tell you. Some great stuff, how yoga will change your life and all this. Health and lifestyle section, all about personal growth. And there are tons of them. You know, you might have bought one or two. You might think, oh yeah, I could do with some of that. You know, all these gurus who walk around on big stages and tell you how you can change your life, how you can push forward and break from that. And they, you know, the people make, there's an whole industry of this, how people can grow as human beings. The problem is, many of the books and many of the people who stand on stage are people who have no track record of personal growth, spiritual or otherwise, or emotional or anything, character. They've no track. They've just written a book because there's a market and people want to read about it. When I want to learn about personal growth, when I want to find out about personal growth, when I want to mature as a person, you know who I want to hear from? I want to hear from someone who's done it. That would give me confidence to read that book if I knew that their life had radically changed. Then I'd be tempted to read that book from them. So who is our model? If we're looking for models, if we're looking for people who have radically changed, who is our model? Well, the obvious answer in church is, it's always Jesus, isn't it? That's the old Sunday school joke, isn't it? What's brown, furry, hides nuts in the lawn, and one of the kids put his hand up and said, it must be Jesus. Because the answer's always Jesus. But the answer is Jesus in this case. The biggest model, your greatest model, is Jesus. He is Jesus. But the Bible is also full of other models and patterns and examples, isn't it? Of people who have radically changed because they met him. Ordinary, failing human beings with sin in their lives who have changed. It's fantastic. And the Apostle Paul is one of these people. The Apostle Paul is somebody who was an incredible man. He lived a life to the fullest. He made his life count, but he changed over years. And you know, if you know anything about his story, it was a massive change in his life as he met Jesus. And in Philippians 3, you have, really, if you want to go home and read it, you have Paul's autobiography. That's his little story about his life. And in the first 11 verses, he deals with his past. He talks about how he used to be and what he used to think. And in today's passage, he deals with his present and his future. And from it, you can see a model for spiritual growth. You can see a book written by a man who's done it, not just pandering to a market. And that's quite encouraging. Paul even encourages us to follow his example. And if you read on, you'll see these verses. Brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. So it is biblical, it is right to follow the example of those who've gone on before and whose lives have changed. We can learn from them. And Paul says we should do that. Now, if you're anything like me, you learn much more about life from other people's, you know, a model made by somebody else than we do from a manual. I never learn very well from books. I tend to learn better from doing it or from seeing it. So we learn better not from manuals, but from models. So what can we learn from Paul? What can we learn? Here are some things you need to learn if you want to grow. Here's his advice. This is from his life and what he did. So here's a guy who knows how to do it. The first thing you do is a bit of evaluation. You face your faults. This is uncomfortable. You know what? I started a college course this week. Said our vision is growing, so that means the pastor has to grow. Hands up, first person to grow. I'm going to have to grow. So, okay. So I went to college to learn better how to listen, and I need desperately to do that because I'm a bloke. Blokes don't listen, do they, ladies? Be honest. Look at your husband now. Just say you never listen. No, don't do it. But we're terrible at listening, and I need to be a better listener. It's the precursor to a counselling course, so I'm there on Wednesdays learning. And you know what they said? They said, here's what you need to do if you're going to help other people. Here's what you need to do. You need to do this. You need to know yourself. You need to know what you're like before you even try and help somebody else. What makes you tick? What are you biased on? What have you got blinkers about? What bits of your character are not so good and what bits are really good? Know yourself. And self-understanding and self-awareness is part of the course, which is really terrifying to me because I'm going to have to start talking about myself and all my stuff. But that's doing me good. And I'm having to start doing that. Evaluation. Face my faults. This is where you admit that you don't have it all together. You still have a long way to go. You do an inventory of your life. You ever done that little inventory? Where am I at? How am I changing? What's going on inside me? You start looking at the areas that need improvement. What do I need to work on? Paul himself was really honest about this. We read it. Listen to this. This is from the Message translation. And I love the way it puts it. I'm not saying that I have this all together. Sorry, there you go. Yeah, it's on there. That I have this all together. That I have it made. But I'm well on my way. Reaching out for Christ who has wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. This is Paul. By no means do I count myself an expert in all this. He recognises he's not there. He's got a long way to go. He probably can put his finger on the things that need changing. It's an amazing statement. You know what? If anybody had a right to say, I've made it, I'm mature, I'm there, all the change that needs to happen has happened. If anybody had a chance to say that, it would have been Paul. He wrote half of the New Testament. Not many of us can say that. He wrote half of it and single-handedly, through his passion and his calling, spread the gospel to more countries. I mean, he just had an amazing ministry. By the time he'd finished his ministry, the church had spread so far. And he took it to people that the early church was nervous of taking it to. He did an amazing thing. If anybody had a right to say, I've made it, it would have been Paul. Yeah, at the end of his life, and this was written at the end of his life, he says, I don't have it all together. I'm not perfect. I'm still growing. The point is, healthy people never stop growing. A mature person realizes that they've still got a long way to go. It's one of the marks of maturity, is you realize that. They're always developing, always growing, always learning. And maturity means that you'll never stop doing that. That's so contrary to our church culture, isn't it? So contrary to our church culture today. Many Christians give you the impression they have never any problems or never any doubts. Don't mention your doubts. Someone might stone you to death outside in the car park. Don't mention you might, oh, I'm not sure about this. Don't mention those. The longer I grow as a Christian, here's the truth. The more I become of my own inadequacies or my failings or my limitations, the longer I've known Jesus, the more I've looked at myself and realised how far from him I am. You ever feel like that? The longer you know him, the more you learn about yourself as well. And it opens your eyes. I think that's what God does to us. I think that's what he wants to do. And rather than saying, look how far I've come, I have to say, look how far I've got to go. Now, I'm glad in one sense I'm not what I used to be. That's true. But I'm still not what I can be in Christ. I'm still not there. And if I might be so bold, neither are you. You're not what you were, but you're not what you can be yet. We still have a long way to go. Paul says, this is the starting point, evaluation for spiritual growth and health. To face your faults, to be honest, to do an evaluation. Proverbs 28:13 says this, people who conceal their sins will not prosper. You know, we need a culture in a church where you don't have to pretend to know it all, where you don't have to pretend to have it all together, where you don't have to pretend. Because people who conceal their sins will not prosper. And the church should be the one place where you can come and be honest that you haven't got it all together. Where you can evaluate openly and honestly and not be afraid to do that. Many of us are afraid to admit our weaknesses because we're more bothered about our reputation than we are about our character. If Forget your reputation. God knows who you are. God's not fooled. Forget your reputation. That's a human thing. Be more concerned for your character than your reputation. And let us, as a church, be honest and open and help each other. Let us do that. Not condemning, not judging, but helping. Look how far I have to go is all of our watchword, really. Here's the truth. You're going to have to choose. Do I want to look good? Or do I want to be good? Which is it? You're going to have to choose one or the other. Do you want to look good? Or do you want to be good? Which one are you going to go for? Where do I need to change? Take a personal inventory, evaluation. Start there if you want to grow, says Paul. That's what he did. That's what he did. A lot of soul searching went on in his life. Here's another one. Elimination. They all rhyme, so you're all right. Elimination. Forget the former. Let go of the past. You know what? You will not grow unless you do this. Incidentally, on that first point, what was the first point? There we go. Evaluation. You know what? As we do this campaign over the 8 weeks, you know what one of the sessions is called? One of the sessions is called Know Yourself, so that you may know God. It's about evaluating who you are, what makes you tick, what are your strengths and weaknesses. It's about evaluation. And part of the EHS course is about growing as a believer. So you have to do this. And that's one of the evenings in your home group that you're going to be looking at. Know yourself. Encourage you to be along for that one. And the next one's elimination. This is part of the course as well, interestingly enough. Elimination. Forget the past. Forget the former. Move on. Stop being manipulated by your past. Verse 13, Paul said, here's what I do to grow. Here's how I grow. Here's the pattern that I want you to follow. I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Paul says if he's going to be all that God wants him to be, he's not going to waste any more time on yesterday and what happened there. My past is my past. That means you have to let go of guilt. You have to let go of grief. You also have to let go of grudges that you might have and unforgiveness. And you let go of those things from your past so you can live in the present, so you can move into the future. If you don't, you will always be stuck in the past. Isaiah 43, verse 18, God says this to his people. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. I am doing a new thing. And when Christ comes into a human life, that's what he says to you. The past, okay. Forgiven. Now move on. And without that, we can't move on. That's why there's a cross. Without that forgiveness and a clean slate, we're stuck. We need to be able to do that. How do you forget? Now, that's the problem, isn't it? How do you forget the past? Well, the truth is you can't practically forget it. It will always be in your memory. But that's not what this means. This means don't let the past affect you anymore. That's what forget the past means. Don't let it affect you today. Don't let it control you. Don't let it have power over you. Don't let it manipulate you. Healthy people learn from the past without living in the past. Two things you need to forget if you're going to follow Paul's pattern, if you're going to grow. This is his pattern, and he says you're going to need to forget two things. And this is what he did. This is how he grew. He said, here's the first thing you forget. You forget your failures. So many Christians continue to rehearse in their heart, things that God has long since forgiven and forgotten. God has let it go, but you won't. You will not grow unless you do. Some Christians just won't forgive themselves. God has already done it. But you won't. you won't forgive yourself. You know what? Everybody here has blown it. We all have regrets. Paul knew about that. Think about the guy who's saying this. What was his life like? B.C.
Trying to do 100 different things all at once and feeling lousy about it. on, he said, to reach the end. I'm going to press on. Principle of determination. Absolutely nothing worthwhile happens without determination. You know that, don't you? Unless you're determined, you'll never see it through. Whatever it is. Especially if it's tough and worth doing. Most things that are worth doing are not easy. You have to have determination. The only way you can coast is when you're going downhill. If you're coasting in life, you are heading downhill. You need to know that. If you're coasting right now, you're going downhill. If there is no challenge in your life, if you're not pushing something important that needs working on, and you and God are working on it, you're just going downhill. You don't stay static. You go down. Paul said, I press on to reach the end. I push on. The people you admire in life are just, listen, you may not realize this, they're just ordinary people with an extraordinary amount of determination. All those guys on pitch on Friday night at Twickenham, they're ordinary blokes who were determined to be on that pitch. And they threw themselves at it. They wouldn't have got there casually. They wouldn't have coasted there, would they? Anything you want to achieve, you have to be determined. You have to be persistent. You have to do that. People who don't know how to quit, they keep on keeping on. Press on, in the Greek, literally means I overextend myself. Maximum effort, no gain without pain. I recognize this principle. That if I want to get somewhere important, it's going to cost me, but I'm going for it. It matters. Anything worth achieving always costs you. What would happen? Listen, here's a question. This is a challenge. What would happen if Christians would put as much energy into growing as they do into making money or their favourite hobby? What would happen? And I'm talking to myself here. What would happen if everybody in this place was passionate about growing in Christ? Emotional and spiritual maturity. What would happen to this church? How many people would get saved? If God's people said this matters, what would happen to this church? Here's another question. What would happen to your marriage if you said, I am determined to grow spiritually and emotionally and in character before God? What would happen to your marriage? Would it be worse or better? Here's another question. What would happen in your job if you were mature spiritually and emotionally and in Christ? What would happen in your job? Would you be more of a blessing to that place or less? This really does matter. This really does matter. What sort of parent would you be if you pressed on and grew? How would your children benefit from that? Paul said this, I reckon my own life to be worth nothing to me in order that I might complete my mission, to finish the work that the Lord Jesus gave me to do, which is to declare the good news of the grace of God. You know what? He was so passionate to finish what God had started in him. And we know in history that he did it. He made a massive impact on the early work, the early church and the early ancient Near East. He made a massive impact through his ministry. Just because, was it because he was a genius? Or he had faults, he got it wrong, he did all sorts of stuff. But he was persistent. He never gave up. Shipwrecks, floggings, the whole lot. He never gave up. And the results are written in history. Persistence. You know the last words of Paul in the last book he ever wrote? Listen to this. I have fought the good fight. we need to close. We need to close. I hope you've learned from Paul. Read that again. Philippians chapter 3. Paul's autobiography says, follow my path. This is how Paul did it. And he says, learn from that. And he concludes with these wonderful words. Let all those who are spiritual mature agree on these things. If you mature, you'll see that this is a good path. If you want to grow spiritually or emotionally into the person you were meant to be, you're going to have to face your faults. You're going to have to forget the former. You're going to have to focus on the future. And you're going to have to finish, fight to the finish. You're going to have to do all those four things. Those are all part of what it means to grow. That's what Paul says. That's my pattern, he says. Who's following? Who's following? And if that seems a little bit tough, you know what? We were talking about God's part and your part the other week. Listen to this. It is two promises to each. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest. We talked about reaping and sowing, didn't we, a while ago, about responsibility. You will reap what you sow. So don't give up. Don't give up. And Philippians 1 verse 6, which is one of my favourite verses, acknowledges that we're just dust, we're not brilliant, we struggle, but listen to this, be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will, not might, will carry it on to completion until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those are two promises of God. And are you going to stand on every promise of his word? We sang it. Are you going to stand on that? Stand on it. And do those things. And for 8 weeks in October and November, we're going to focus on those things. And you have a choice. You can take a risk and get involved. Or you can sit at home.